Okay, thank you to Dr. Muska and thank you to Dr. Alper for her very, very well put together words. I hope I have something to add other than a few stories. But I have to say that just earlier today I was actually at the counseling center on the Wolf campus, and I didn't do that just so that I could say that. It just happened to work out that way. I was there with a student and we met with someone, and it was a tremendous opportunity to gain insight into one's inner world. And I really want to encourage everyone, really almost beg of you, that it's a tremendous resource that we have both on the Wolf campus here at Stern. It's a tremendous, tremendous resource. And I think in the world today, people have become more comfortable taking advantage of that resource. There's really nothing to be embarrassed of. The range of support and therapy is really phenomenal, ranging from more extreme cases to really basic needs that a person might have in terms of discovering oneself and figuring out how to balance a heavy workload. And it's really a tremendous opportunity to have such a resource here. And I hope that those of you who can benefit from it won't hesitate to take advantage of it, because again, it's very, very helpful, and it's something that I think will only help you if you appreciate it and value it and take advantage of it. Talking on this topic of doing tshuva in a healthy way and trying to be a balanced human being, being able to be an inspired human being and a person who's also able, like Dr. Alper said, to reel it in and to rein it in when it's necessary, to be able to come before Hashem during these days and at the same time not to have a panic attack or, God forbid, very intense levels of anxiety or stress. And I want to begin just by pointing out that anything I'm going to say has to be filtered in and of itself. Because when we talk about tshuva, tshuva itself is a very personal experience. And the same way that when it comes to mental health and it comes to seeking therapy and counseling for varieties of things across a great spectrum, when it comes to tshuva, there's a lot of ways to do tshuva. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky pointed out an amazing thing. He says, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, where in the Shulchan Aruch do we find Hilchos Tshuva? Which of the four sections of the Shulchan Aruch? The answer is we don't. If you look in the Torah, which was the predecessor of the Shulchan Aruch, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you will not find a section on Hilchos Tshuva. Now I know, as I'm sure most of us in the room know, that the Rambam wrote Hilchos Tshuva, and there are many great works, earlier works, later works, on Tshuva, techniques to Tshuva, guidebooks to Tshuva, again, from early Jewish philosophy to contemporary manuals in every language. But at the same time, Rav Yaakov points out, there really is no codified halacha in terms of the Shulchan Aruch, with which a Jew lives and dies by, and every action that we do is guided by, and there really is no definitive way to do tshuva. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky explained the reason is because it is a very personal experience. It is a very delicate and personal experience, and what works for one person doesn't necessarily work for another person. And we have to be aware of that going into these days, because sometimes, unfortunately, you know, the downside of having such an abundance of resources, again, in Hebrew and English, and so many ways to look at the process of tshuva, so many ways to approach the Amun Aram, that we sometimes make ourselves a little bit crazy. That I read something in a book and I immediately assume I need to apply this right away. And then I read something in a different book and I need to apply that right away. And a person could go running from one shiur to the next, from one textbook, from one source book to the next, trying to figure out, you know, try this, try that, instead of being able to take a pause and to take a breath and to figure out, where am I holding, what works for me, and what worked for Rabbeinu Yonah a long time ago might not work for me, and what worked for other Rishonim might not work for me, and to be able to filter it through a lens, again a very healthy lens, to be able to approach tshuva in the right way. And really no one else in the world can help you. People can help you, but no one else can really make that definitive call, which is why Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says there is no Shulchan Aruch for tshuva. Someone once came to the Brisker Rav. It was this time of the year, and they asked the Brisker Rav, if this fellow asked, can I have a bracha that I should be able to do tshuva this year? And the Brisker Rav responded to him, there's no such thing as getting a bracha to do tshuva. I can't make tshuva happen for you. There's no magic segula for tshuva. The bracha of a great tzaddik doesn't help a person to truly change his or her ways. It takes deep reflection, but again, it has to be done in a way that approached in a healthy way. Because again, you start to open up the books and you start to figure out, what is Rosh Hashanah? What are these days? And min akotzel akotzel, from one extreme to the next and everything in between, so many different approaches, so many different opinions. These are yamim no ra'im. These are awesome days. These are typically understood to be frightening days. A person might feel, I am very frightened by these days. Maybe I'm too frightened from these days. Maybe I'm not frightened enough. Because I read in some books that a person, that any good God-fearing Jew, your heart is trembling during these days. And maybe I'm not so scared of Rosh Hashanah. Maybe that bothers me. And these are Yom Noram. These are awesome days. These are powerful days. These are Yemei HaDin. And again, we draw up images. We all have that picture of that coloring sheet we had when we were kids. You have the apple. That's sweet. That's nice. You have the honey. That's also cute. Right? And then you have those scales. Remember the scales? Right? And you have those looming scales, you know, before you. That everything is being so precisely weighed and everything is being so precisely calculated. And you can't trick Hashem and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to catch you. And sometimes we develop, again, in almost our immature understanding, we develop a very limited understanding of what these days are about. Now again, I'm not trying to take away from that aspect of the days, God forbid. And if you read stories about tzaddikim and righteous people of earlier generations who were literally trembling during these days, that doesn't necessarily mean that they were unhealthy people. It doesn't mean that they had any form of OCD or any subcategories. Right? It just means that it could be we need to approach it in a different way based on the world in which we live today. And I don't think that's a heretical thing to say. I read a story one time. There was a great dayan in Yerushalayim. I think his name was Rav Pesach Hirsch. And he was known to be an individual of tremendous Yiras Shamayim. So much so that this was the type of person, when you crossed him in the street, you could see. You could see on his face there was this awe, there was this presence of God that he carried with him. So someone once asked him, they said, Rav Pesach Hirsch, you know, and especially this time of the year, Elul, Rosh Hashanah time, he was that much more, you could see there was such a tangible recognition of these days on his face. So they asked him, they said one time, how did you become such a Yari Shamayim? Like, what was your trick? What was your technique? So he said, I'll tell you what happened to me when I was a child. He said, I was a young boy, and in the town in which I lived, different tzaddikim would travel on occasion, they'd come to our town to give a shir, to give a Musar drasha. And the founder of the Musar movement, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter himself, once came to our town. Now you can imagine what that was like. Hagon Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Zatzal. Rabbi Salanter came to town, they gathered in the big shul, the center of town. And men, women, and children, everyone was there, was packed, not a seat in the house. And he said, I was a young boy at the time. Now the way it worked, that after the seats had been occupied by the adults, by the men, by the women, the children, who couldn't find a seat at that point, would sit on the floor, literally right in front of the shtender, right by where the speaker was presenting. And they said it was the beginning of Chodesh El, and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter walked into the shul. And you could literally hear a pin drop. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter slowly made his way up to the, everyone rose for him, he made his way up to the shtender at the beginning, at the front of the room, and he clutched the shtender with his two hands, and all of a sudden you could see Rabbi Yisrael was turning white, and he started to tremble. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, this Rav Pesach Hirsch described, he said, I was sitting right at the feet of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Can you imagine? And I'm watching this unfold before my eyes. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter cries out, Elul! He screams out, Elul! And he faints. And he lands on me. He collapsed on me. Can you imagine? A little boy sitting there, Hagon Rabbi Yisrael Salanter lands on him. So this Rav Pesach Hirsch said to this fellow who stopped him in the street this time of year, he said, you want to know how I developed my Yiras Shamayim? He says, it's because I still feel the weight of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's Elul on my shoulders. Every day of my life, I still feel the weight of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's Elul on my shoulders. Now, it's a very powerful story. It's a very intense story, right? And it might move our hearts. It might stir our hearts. It might give us an appreciation of what Elul is, what Yom Noram are, what Yemei HaDin are, what people who really got it, the intensity of these days, and how they felt. Right? But if I don't absorb that story in a healthy way, it can be an extremely destructive story. It can be very paralyzing. It can cause a person to not know what to do with himself or herself during these days. Let me make it intentionally confusing for a minute. These are Yom Noram, awesome days, frightening days. Right? These are Yemei Din. But they're also Yemei Ratzon. They're days of great longing, they're days of great potential. There's a sense of Kirvas Elokus that Hashem is pulling us in, Hashem wants to be close to us. I come to the davening, open up the machzor. Avinu, my loving Father in heaven. Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. Malkeinu, a king who could at any moment say, off with your head. Right? I'm banim lamakam, a child of Hashem. I feel the embrace of my parent. Right? But I'm also an Eved, who's working, who maybe is being whipped by his master. Very confusing. I try to understand Rosh Hashanah. Should I cry in Rosh Hashanah? Should I dafka not cry in Rosh Hashanah? Am I allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah if I want? The Shulchan Aruch's not sure. I have to come home. Most of us come home. We have a festive meal. The pasuk in Nehemiah says,
Vayomer lehem lechu achlu mishmanim v'shesu mamsakim. Go home and have a feast. This is describing Rosh Hashanah. V'shilchu manos lein nachola, and send meals, send food to those who don't have. Ki kadosh hayom ladoneinu v'al teyatzevu. Don't be sad, don't be depressed, it's a happy day. Ki ched vas Hashem hi muschem. It's a day of rejoicing. Is Rosh Hashanah a day of joy? We open up the Gemara. Let's see, do we say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah? No, we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. Because how can we say Hallel when the Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei Mesim are open? So it's not a day for Hallel. Says the Rambam, well, we don't say Hallel because it's not Simcha Yisera. Oh, so it is a happy day. It's just not that happy. Right? And you go back and forth and you start looking at different sources and different Svarim. You open up a Sefer, it says, God forbid you should ask for any of your personal needs on Rosh Hashanah. This is not about you. This is about Kvod Shemaim. It's about crowning the Melech Malchei Melachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You open up another Sefer, right? And it tells you, Rosh Hashanah is the day to ask for every little thing that you could possibly imagine. You'd be foolish not to ask for the slightest details of anything that you want, Baruch Nis and Gashmias. You open up another Sefer, you see, the Zohar says, a person who comes to Rosh Hashanah and says, give me, give me, is like a barking dog that says, have, have, give me, give me. Right? A selfish dog. God forbid to ask for yourself. And you go back and forth from one Sefer to the next. Are we confused enough yet? Any more examples? Right? You go back and forth, you're trying to figure out, what does Hashem want from me? Yam Noran, Yimei Ratzon, Avinu, Malkenu, Banim, Avadim, crying, tears of joy, tears of sadness, I'm frightened, I'm confident, I wear white on Yom Kippur because I'm positive Hashem's going to make everything work out, right? Don't be too confident, you need to do tshuva. If you don't do tshuva, we paskin Yom Kippur doesn't work without tshuva. So a person can literally go crazy, God forbid, right, trying to just make sense of these very, very confusing and complicated days. But a healthy Jew, a person who has proper mental health, right, a person who understands that life is a little more nuanced than that, and it doesn't always swing between the extremes, a person who is a healthy person can actually make sense of all those different emotions. I'm able to approach these days and have an appreciation, yes, these are Yemei Din, yes, these are Yom Noram, yes, Malkeinu, Melech Malchei Melachim is scrutinizing my every action, yes, I can feel the weight of Rissal Salanter's Elul on my shoulders, and at the same time, Ched Vas Hashem, Hi Me'uzchem, I can sit and I can eat, and I can dip the apple in the honey, and I can bring out all sorts of simanim, indicating my confidence that things are going to be good, right? And while I don't say Hallel, but it is a day of Simcha, and maybe I shouldn't cry, maybe I should be feeling good about myself, maybe I should think about all the good things that I do, right? And highlight the successes I have this past year, not only the failures. When a person's healthy, the body is able to have competing desires and actually able to reconcile them. Think about a healthy body in a physical sense, right? What the heart needs is very different than what the liver needs. It's very different than what your left leg needs. It's different than what your right eyeball needs. The body has a lot of different things and has limited resources, and the various parts of the body are, so to speak, fighting for the resources. But when a person is a healthy person, somehow, right, even though there's competing values, so to speak, of what the body needs, somehow it seems to work. Right? That the left leg is able to get along with the right arm, and your neck is able to get along with your torso, and somehow the whole thing fits together. What happens when a person is not well, physically? A person who's sick, when there's this imbalance, all of a sudden, the whole system starts to get shaky. Right? It could be that your stomach, you have a problem with your stomach, you have some type of intestinal issue, right? But it's also causing a headache, and it's causing your back to hurt, and it's making you feel weak, that your legs are giving out beneath you. And therefore, you're no longer able to reconcile the various parts and desires and needs of the body. Judaism, I want to go on record as saying that Judaism is a very balanced religion. It's a very healthy way to live one's life. Listen to the words of the Rambam in Hilchos Deos. Okay, so the Rambam, this is a good combination. The Rambam was a doctor, of course. The Rambam was a philosopher. The Rambam was everything that you could want. Right? So, you know, if you're more into like what the rabbis say, you got the Rambam. You're more into what the doctors say. The Rambam works for that also. Listen to the words of the Rambam in Hilchos Deos in the first parak. Shtei kitzvot harichokot zo mizo. The two extremes, right? The two ends, so to speak, of any scenario. Shebechol deya v'deya. In each way of thinking, in each character trait, in each idea, in each emotion, to go to the extremes. Shebechol deya v'deya ain't a derech tova. That's not the proper path. To be an extreme person is not the path of Judaism. It's not fit for a person to walk that path. Listen to the next words.
and not to teach it to yourself, not to train yourself in that way. I think there's a diuk, I think there's an inference to be made in this Rambam. Don't walk that path if that's the natural path for you. And if you see someone else who you think, oh wow, look, they're so extreme about their Judaism, that must mean that God loves them more. Maybe I'm going to learn, right? I don't have a natural natiyah, a longing to be that way. But I see someone else, I say, wow, they're so extreme. That must be a sign that they're more connected to God. So the Rambam says, don't try to be their student. Don't learn from them. That's not the proper path. Says the Rambam in the next halacha, Haderech HaYeshara Himida Beinonis. The proper path, the Shvil HaZav, so to speak, right, is the middle path. Shebechol Deya V'Deya Michol HaDeos Sheyesh L'Adam. The Rambam does say there are two areas that a Jew should be extreme in. We should be extreme to remove the midah of kaas, of anger, and we should be extreme in removing gaiva, and removing a person who has a haughty spirit. But even that has to be understood. Kaas is easier to understand. Anger is something that can be exceptionally destructive, right? But haughtiness has to be understood carefully. Because if I try to become too extreme with that, sometimes I become depressed and I lose my self-confidence. So that also, we have to understand what it means to be a Baal Gaiva. We have to understand what true anava is. Anava doesn't mean that you think very badly of yourself. So even that, again, has to be understood carefully. And the Rambam concludes the halacha, v'derech zu, this middle path that I'm describing, hi derech ha-chachamim. This is the path of a wise person, of an intelligent person, a person who gets it, says the Rambam. Kol adam shedei osav deos beinonis mimutzaos nikra chacham. A person who knows how to navigate that balance, that middle path, that's a chacham, that's a wise person. That's a person of understanding. That's a person who understands the system that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live by. I saw once in a sefer called Deyas Hashem. There were some very strong-willed yeshiva bachrim who wanted very badly to express their religious convictions and commitments, right, through something like scrupulosity, that intensity of wanting to do everything in a very extreme way. So they came to the Rebbe, and they asked the Rebbe, and said, Rebbe, is it good to be extreme about Torah? And the Rebbe said, absolutely, you should be very extreme about Torah. But you have to know what Torah says. To be extreme about Torah means to be extremely, extremely well-calibrated upon that middle path. That's what Torah is. You want to make up your own religion, right, and be extreme about that, well, that's a different thing. So to be extreme about Torah, do we take Torah very seriously? Absolutely. But taking Torah very seriously doesn't mean walking the extremes of various emotions or various character traits. Or approaching a day and days like the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah and the Avodah Zarah in Chodesh Elul in a way that becomes unhealthy and is different and distant from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires for us. A person always has to ask himself or herself, what does Hashem want from me? What can Hashem realistically expect from me? Am I setting realistic goals and expectations for myself? One of my students told me that one of his friends once had the opportunity to meet Rav Scheinberg. Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, right, for those who don't recognize the name, might recognize the description of Rav Scheinberg. Rav Scheinberg was the rabbi who wore many pairs of tzitzis. Seen pictures of Rav Scheinberg. Right? Lavda, looks like an NFL linebacker with all those tzitzis. So someone was once feeling very, you know, spiritually and religiously inspired, maybe spent a few Shabbosim in Tzfat, saw some Jews who wore all white on Shabbos. And this fellow came to Rav Scheinberg and said, you know, Rebbe, can I wear all white? Would it be appropriate for me to wear all white on Shabbos? So Scheinberg said, no, that would not be normal. From where, that doesn't make sense for you. It's totally not, no. It's not. I don't give you permission to wear all white. You're not a Kabbalist, you're a young guy. It's not for you. You need to be normal. So the fellow turned to Scheinberg, and I'm sure in a very respectful way, said, "Mechilas kvod harav," in case you haven't seen yourself in the mirror, right? That's like not so normal, what you're doing. 80 pairs of tzitzis, 90 pairs of tzitzis. I'm sure he expressed it in a very respectful way. But he hinted to Scheinberg, right? You also have some strange levush. So Scheinberg said back to him, for me, this is normal. For me, this is normal. For you, this would be completely abnormal, completely extreme, completely imbalanced. For Scheinberg, for a person of his stature, and no one ever, by the way, knew why he took on this particular hanhaga, this particular practice. But for Scheinberg, he felt this was appropriate for him. I have to share a story. I was debating about, I think I told it in the past, but I'll tell it again. I once had an interaction with Scheinberg that was fascinating. Scheinberg has a student, Rav Yaakov Haber, lives in Eretz Yisrael now. You know this Maisa? You know Rabbi Haber, or you know this story? Or both? So So Rabbi Haber used to be the Rav of my wife's shul in Muncie. Rabbi Haber once moved into a new home in Eretz Yisrael. Everyone knows the story? So should I skip it? It's a good story. But I have to hear my part. You have to hear the part that my personal hosafa to the story. So Rabbi Haber moved into this new home, and they had a problem with a scorpion. There was a scorpion running around his kitchen. Now, a scorpion is not something that you fool around with. Right? So he went to his Rebbe, and he said, Rebbe, what's going on? Right, tell me, do I have a certain Avera? What's the source of this? How could this be? So Rav Scheinberg went and he took out Perek Shira. Perek Shira, the psukim that the Medrash says aligns all the various psukim with different animals and different experiences. So Rav Scheinberg looks, he sees the scorpion. The pasuk about the scorpion says something about, it's not Poseach Yadachim Esbilach Al-Chayratzon, but it's something like that. To provide, to open your hand, to give support to others. Something about helping like Aniyim, something, one of those types of psukim. So he says to Rabbi Haber, he says, is it possible that when you move to your new home, is it possible there was someone who used to help in your old shkuna, in your old neighborhood, and they don't realize that you moved, and now they don't have that support anymore? So Rabbi Haber thought about it. He said, yeah, you know what, there was this fellow who used to come around, and we'd give him a meal once in a while, we'd give him a few shkalim, whatever it was, right? And Taka, when we moved, we didn't mention to him that we were moving. So that could be it. So Scheinberg said, good, so track him down and tell him that you moved, and I bet the scorpion will disappear. And that's what happened. They went, they told this person, here's our new address, if you need anything, you know where to track us down, and no more scorpion problems. Okay, pretty amazing story. So Scheinberg once came to Bergenfield, New Jersey, where I happen to live, and I went to get a bracha. Happens to be, at the time, I was living in the apartments in Teaneck with my wife, and we had a mouse that was terrorizing our apartment. So I said, I was very frightened. My wife was much tougher and braver than I. But I said, I was thinking in the back of my mind, I'm going to get a bracha from Scheinberg. Maybe I'll ask him some like normal things one would ask Rosh Hashiva. And then I had in the back of my mind this story with Rabbi Haber. I said, you know, I'm going to ask Rosh Scheinberg, right, for a segula to get rid of a mouse. So I'm sitting there with Rosh Scheinberg, I got a bracha. He was a little hard of hearing. So I was communicating through his son, Rav Simcha Scheinberg, Shlita. And I said to Rav Simcha, I said, this is a little bit of a funny question, but that story with Rabbi Haber, so we have this mouse in our apartment, maybe you could... So he turns to his father and he says very loudly, he says, this young man would like the Rosh Yeshiva to give him some advice. He has a mouse in his apartment. And I'm feeling like this is what I'm wasting Rav Scheinberg's time on. So Rav Scheinberg looks at me, huge smile, and he says, no, so get a cat. So get a cat. And I'm thinking to myself, like, come on, pull out like Perek Shira, give me something cool. Right? And he gives me a very practical etzah. You have a mouse, so get a cat. You have a mouse, get a mouse trap. Right? A person has to know what's normal for your environment. For Rabbi Yaakov Haber, for a tzaddik like Rabbi Yaakov Haber, one of the Talmidim of Hakim of Rav Scheinberg, so he can give him a deeper spiritual thing. For a regular guy, Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, go get a mouse trap. I didn't get a cat, I got a mouse trap. I interpreted Rav Scheinberg that a mouse trap is ki'ilu a cat, and it worked. And the bracha of the tzaddik worked. But a person has to be practical, has to be down to earth. We can't live in a world of dimyonos and living beyond our level. Just yesterday was the art side of the Chafetz Chaim. And I saw an unbelievable thing once from the Chafetz Chaim in a little volume called Sichos HaChafetz Chaim. In Os Yud Ches, it says the following. The Chafetz Chaim said, Atem Yodim Tshuva Mahi. You want to know what tshuva is? Okay, again, these are reliable people. The Chafetz Chaim said, you want to know what tshuva is? Lo Kefisha Choshvim. Not like people imagine I have to do something wild and intense. Sheyesh li chasos b'sak, right? Sak ve'efer, sackcloth and ashes and fasting and all sorts of afflictions. Lo bekach yotzu yedei chovas ha-tshuva. That's not tshuva. It might make you feel like, you know, something strong and intense, but Hashem says that. What are you doing? That's not tshuva. Ah, but you'll tell me I saw in an early work of Jewish philosophy that it recommended such a thing. The Chafetz Chaim passed away in 1933. So he's speaking to our times. So much so that Rav Yerucham Levavitz, the great Mashkiach of Mir, said that when the Chafetz Chaim passed away, he said, I daven that the Chafetz Chaim should sit on the basin in Shemayim when Jews like ourselves come before the Kisei HaKavod. He'll be able to explain to Hashem what it was like to live in our times. The Chafetz Chaim got where people were holding. He understood the realities of our world. And again, I know our world, it's almost 100 years now since the Chafetz Chaim, right? But it's still our world. So says the Chafetz Chaim, what is tshuva? Ela al yedei shekol echad, yeitiv es darko ba'osam advarim shu yodeya shu hu pagum bahem. to try to correct the things that you know that you're not, that need a little work. And then he says an amazing thing. Listen to this. Each person according to your spiritual level. And he says that one time, going back to the Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the one who collapsed with his own fear and trembling of the word El. He didn't even say anything. He didn't quote one Maimer Chazal. Just the word El. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was once approached, says the Chavetz Chaim, by a Chazan. And the Chazan said to him, Yomer li Rabbeinu, ma tshuva hamiyuchedes shali? As a Chazan, what's my tshuva? Every person has tshuva. What's my tshuva? The Chazan was expecting, some Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Musar movement, a strong Musar shmuz. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said back to him, Alecha la'asos kol ma'amatz shekolcha yiyeh arif. You should do everything within your ability that your voice, when you sing, when you lead the davening, your voice should be sweet. You know why? Sha'arei, because they pay you bishvil zeh. That's what they pay you for. That's your avoda. That's your tshuva. You're a chazan, be a good chazan. It's such an unbelievable insight. It's not about redefining myself and recreating myself and looking at some of my spiritual role models and pretending, right, that I can be Rav Yaakov Haber or I can be like Rav Scheinberg. That's a falsification of self. And it only leads to depression. It only leads to disappointment. To be able to look at oneself, the Chavetz Chaim said, again on the occasion of his yard site, Tzuchusu Yagein Aleinu, we should watch over us. Yesterday was his yard site. The Chavetz Chaim said that when the Pasuk describes a very intense recipe of what it means to be a good Jew, Va'ata Yisrael, remember this Pasuk, Dvarim Perek Yud? Va'ata Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimach. Jewish people, what is it that Hashem asks of you? Ki im li yiras Hashem Elokecha, Lelechas Bechol Drachav, La'avo so, V'la'avodas Hashem Elokecha, B'chol Levavcho, B'chol Nafshecha. Pretty intense Pasuk. What is it that God asks you? Only that what? You should be perfect. You should fear Him, you should love Him, you should serve Him every second of every day with all your heart and all your soul. So overwhelming. One of the students of the Chavetz Chaim, Rav Shlomo Bloch, said in the name of the Chavetz Chaim, my Rebbe told me a different shot in this Pasuk. A healthier way for Jews living in Tafshin Ayin Vav, transitioning into the new year, a way for us type of Jews to handle this type of Pasuk. It's a lot, there's a lot, and we want to strive for it. But don't lose that first word of the Pasuk. Va'ata Yisrael ma Hashem Elokecha shol meimach. Va'ata. Right now, that is what Hashem is shol meimach. This next moment, what's the right choice to make in the next moment? What does Hashem want me to do right now? Do I have to become a tzaddik in the next moment? So you'll say, hold on, Moshe. See, last time you were here, and you spoke about tshuva, one of the techniques you said was that a person could do tshuva and become a tzaddik in a second. That's true. There is a Gemara like that. But you could also become a tzaddik over the course of your lifetime. It is possible to move the heart in a second and to change everything. But it's also okay, va'ata. And if you look in the Medrash, by the way, the Medrash says that a code word for tshuva is the word va'ata. What's the lesson? What's the Medrash telling us? Because sometimes we look at it in such, we see everything in front of us, and we get so overwhelmed. And Hashem says, whoa, slow down. Va'ata Yisrael. Right now, Jewish people, what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you right now? It's a process. Life is a process. Respect that process. One of my heroes is Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld Zatzal. If you've never read the biography of Shlomo Freifeld, I highly, highly recommend it. In that biography, it tells a story that Rav Yossi Lieber, who was a person who was very involved in chinuch, so he once had a group of young boys and girls who were learning more about their Judaism, and he wanted them to have the opportunity to meet Rav Shlomo Freifeld, the founder of the Shar Yashiv Yeshiva. So he got this group of boys and girls, they were sitting in a circle, and Rav Shlomo Freifeld was a very, very charismatic person, a very distinguished looking person, tall, long coat, big beard, an up hat, right? A very, regal looking rabbinic type of figure, comes and he's sitting with these kids. And he turns to one of the boys, he's going around the room, he says, I'd like to know your names. I want to get to know you. He turns to one boy, he says, tell me, young man, what's your name? So he says, Rabbi, my name is Charlie. He says, Charlie, it's very nice. He says, Charlie, what's your Jewish name? Do you have a Jewish name? He says, my Jewish name, Chaim. Chaim, it's a beautiful name. Chaim means life. That's such a beautiful name. He goes to the next girl, he says, what's your name? My name is Jennifer. Jennifer, that's a very nice name. Do you have a Jewish name? Yes, Chana Esther. Wow, Chana Esther. And he starts telling her, Chana and Esther. And he's going around this whole room. And when Rav Freifeld in his great humility, again, a great Rosh Yeshiva, but a person who got it and understood where people were holding, Rav Feifeld, after going around this whole circle and allowing each of the children, David and Alana and Erez and Hadassah, and he went around the whole room and every child said his or her Jewish name, Rav Feifeld said, listen, he said, at my bris milah, the official name that I was given was Shlomo. He says, but my mother liked the name Seymour. And my mom called me Seymour. My mom used to call me Seymour. He says, don't let the hat and the beard fool you. He says, I used to be Seymour. Right? Don't assume I always was this way. He says, but now, he says, now I think I'm worthy of the name Shlomo. And Rav Feifeld turned to the group, these young children, these young students who were just beginning their journey to Judaism, the beginning of the return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said to them, life is an evolution, not a revolution. Life is an evolution. Respect the process. It doesn't have to be a revolution. Right? You don't wake up one morning, Seymour doesn't wake up one morning and become HaRav HaGaon Rav Shlomo Freifeld, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha. But over the course of a lifetime, of a person who makes Va'ata, asks myself, time and time again, what does Hashem want from me right now? A person can begin that process, and a person can follow through on that process, and a person can achieve really, really great things. Really, really great things. One of the words, another code word in Tanakh for Rosh Hashanah is Hayom, the word Hayom. Right? If you look at the beginning of, say, for Eov, where Eov has it great, Eov's a big tzaddik, prosperity, and then the pasuk says, Vayihi Hayom. It was on that day that the angels were roaming the earth and the Satan was with them. They took note. The Satan noticed Eov. This guy has it pretty good. He hasn't really been challenged. Right? I think we're going to give Eov a run for his money. We know what happens the rest of the Sefer Eov. A very deep philosophical work. The struggles of Eov, the ups and downs of Eov. Says Rashi on that Pasuk, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Vav of Eov. What is Vayihi Hayom? It was the day. Says Rashi, Rosh Hashanah. The Satan decided to start up with Eov on Rosh Hashanah. Let's see. Let's scrutinize. Let's take a look at Eov under the microscope and see what he looks like. That word Hayom in Chazal is a code word for Rosh Hashanah. That's why in these parshios leading up to Rosh Hashanah, we see the word Hayom appearing a lot of times. Last week's parsha, you come to bring Bikurim. He got it to Hayom LaHashem Elokecha. Over and over, you see the word Hayom appearing by Bikurim. How does this week's parsha begin? Right before we come to Rosh Hashanah, Atam Nitzavim, Hayom. Kulchem Lefnei Hashem. That's mamish what's happening. Today, Hayom, Rosh Hashanah is coming. You're standing directly before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Many, we say on Rosh Hashanah, Hayom Haras Olam. Hayom is a code word for Rosh Hashanah. I'll tell you an amazing gematria. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Lemishpatecha Amdu Hayom, this is Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes. Lemishpatecha Amdu Hayom, Ki Akol Avadecha. That's a full Pasuk. I'll say it again. Lemishpatecha Amdu Hayom, for the judgment, we are standing Hayom, Rosh Hashanah, Ki Hakol Avadecha. As your servants, now we're coming before our Master to be judged. So one of the great tzaddikim from Yerushalayim, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, said that if you add up the gematria of this pasuk, literally from beginning to end, L'mishpatecha Amdu Hayom Ki Hakol Avadecha, it's exactly gematria 861, which is exactly gematria of Rosh Hashanah. L'mishpatecha Amdu Hayom Ki Hakol Avadecha. That is Rosh Hashanah. But Hayom is the code word for Rosh Hashanah. So I want to talk, we only have a few minutes left. I'm not even sure what time the car is picking me up, so that's, okay, maybe we'll go out in a couple minutes and so we don't lose it, because that happened one time. I don't want, they're supposed to be, yeah, if you don't mind just taking, I don't know if Mrs. Cement called it for 9 or 9:15, thank you, I'm sorry. So let's talk about a health, what does it mean, Hayom? Hayom is Rosh Hashanah, it's a big day, it is a big day. But let's talk about how we can approach Hayom in a healthy way, and we can approach it in a very unhealthy way. The unhealthy way, I think we could all figure out very quickly. What's the unhealthy way that we approach Hayom? Hayom, this is the day. The whole year depends on this. Rosh Hashanah, what's going to happen right now is going to affect everything that's going to happen. The Chazon Ish was once sitting in the Beis Medrash, and there was a fly that came by and landed on his sefer. So the Chazon Ish, he swatted it away. And the fly came back, and he swatted it away. One of his students was sitting there, and the fly came back. And the Chazon Ish turned to me and said, you see this? You see this fly? This is a Rosh Hashanah fly. It was determined on Rosh Hashanah that this fly is going to bother us on this particular day, at this particular time. Everything is determined on Rosh Hashanah. That's true. That's absolutely true. That's what Jews believe. And therefore, sometimes we say, whoa, that's really intense. I got to go all in on Rosh Hashanah. Right? I have to be perfect on Rosh Hashanah, because everything is dependent upon Rosh Hashanah. Anything I'm going to accomplish this year is being decreed on Rosh Hashanah. So we start to get anxious, and we start to put a lot of pressure, and we start to place very demanding expectations upon ourselves. What makes for a good Rosh Hashanah? You've heard the idea that if you sleep on Rosh Hashanah, you'll have a sleepy year. That's a real thing, right? So like, I'm pacing around my house, so God forbid I shouldn't fall asleep on the couch, right, on Rosh Hashanah afternoon. Healthy or not healthy, right? We need to think about it. But Hayom, today is the day. It's now or never. If I fall asleep now, even for a few minutes, well, maybe I should rest, because then if I go to Mincha, I'll be able to daven better. No, but I have this fear. It's Hayom. It has to be the perfect day, because everything depends upon it. That's one way to look at Hayom. And there is some truth to it. There's a lot of truth to it. But it can be very, very dangerous. So what's the other way to look at Hayom? The other way to look at Hayom is the way that the Chafetz Chaim looked at Va'ata Yisrael Ma'ashem Elokecha Shol Melech. The other way to look at Hayom is what? Hayom. Not Hayom as it impacts the entirety of my life. Not Hayom as this day is going to set the tone for the entire calendar year, which is also true. But Hayom as Hayom, right now. Va'ata, right now. Hayom, respect that moment. Right? To understand there's a process, it's an evolution, not a revolution. That Seymour has to become Shlomo over a period of time. And to be respectful of that moment where I'm holding right now. Not to deceive myself, not to place demands upon myself that are unrealistic. Because you know what happens when Mar Cheshvan rolls around? We're very depressed that all of the unrealistic Kabbalahs that we took upon ourselves are starting to very quickly, starting to dissipate, starting to fade away. You can become a tzaddik in a second. It's possible. Hayom can be everything. But you could also become a tzaddik over the course of a lifetime. The Gemara in Sukkah tells how at the end of days, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take the Yetzirah, our arch enemy, and he's going to shech the Yetzirah. He's going to put an end to the Yetzirah once and for all. The Yetzirah is going to be killed in front of tzaddikim and rasham, and everyone's going to be crying, the Gemara says. Sukkah daf nun beizam ad alf. The tzaddikim are going to be crying because they're going to say, how did we ever defeat this Yetzirah? And the rasham are going to be crying, they're going to say, how did we not defeat this Yetzirah? Now listen to what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that the tzaddikim are crying and they say, how is it possible that we defeated this Har Gavoa, this big mountain called the Yetzirah? Such a fierce enemy. Wow, the tzaddikim are crying, maybe tears of joy. We can't believe we defeated this mountain called the Yetzirah. And the Rasham are crying, how sad it is that we weren't able to defeat this Chut HaSa'ara, this little hair, this little strand. So says the Chiddush HaRim, says the first Ger Rebbe, so which is it? Is it a huge mountain? Or is it a hair? Is it a strand? Is it a single thin thread? Says the Ger Rebbe, it's both. It's a mountain of threads. It's a mountain of little things. The Tzaddik made a mountain of victories out of every little small victory over the Yetzirah. While the Rasha, maybe because he was looking at that mountain, he saw it in such a big way, he never even took that first step. He never began the process of coming back to Kodesh Baruch. Which day of Rosh Hashanah is the more intense day of Rosh Hashanah? Have you heard? Did you find that in any of the Sfarim? Which day of Rosh Hashanah is the more severe judgment? The first day. The first day. It's better to ask for your personal needs the second day. That's what I saw in some Sfarim. I'm sure you can find other things in other Sfarim. Right? But the first day is the day where the judgment is that much stronger. Right? It's compared to Leah and to Rachel. Okay. Very deep in Yonim. But the first day is the more intense day. What's the Kriyas HaTorah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah? What do we read about on the first day of Rosh Hashanah? How are we doing in terms of time? 9:15. Oh, 9:15. Perfect. Amazing. Perfect. What do we read in the Kriyas HaTorah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah? Anyone remember? Bereishis Chaf Aleph, right? Bereishis Chaf Aleph is the first day. Bereishis Chaf Beis, Perek Chaf Beis is the second day. Bereishis Chaf Aleph is the story of Hagar and Yishmael. Again, the first day of Rosh Hashanah is the more intense day. Hashem is looking at you more carefully. And yet, what are we reading? We're reading how HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees Hagar and Yishmael struggling, a mother and a son, not the biggest tzaddikim in the world, not the most perfect people, and the Malach comes to Hagar and says, Malach Hagar, Hagar, what are you getting so bent out of shape for? You're giving up hope? You don't think your child's going to make it? Al tir'i ki shama Elokim es kol hanar ba'asher hu sham. That Hashem has heard the cries of the child, ba'asher hu sham, where he is right now. Hashem could have looked into the future and seen all of the terrorist attacks by the descendants of Yishmael. There would have been a lot of reasons to let Yishmael die under that bush.
And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even Yishmael Ba'asher Hu Sham, even Yishmael can be looked at where he's holding right now. Of course I have a vision for where you could be over the course of your lifetime, Hashem says. But it starts with where am I now? Va'ata Yisrael. Right now, va'ata is a code word for tshuva. Hayom, to respect where I am today. Yes, to have goals, to have dreams, to have visions of where I'd like to be. But to respect where I am right now. Rav Asher Weiss is one of the great poskim, Shlita, Rav Asher Weiss Shlita, one of the great gedolim in Eretz Yisrael today, a real genius in Torah. They've been publishing his Shilas and Tshuvos recently. In the second volume of his Shilas and Tshuvos, in the 134th Tshuva, Kuf Lamed Dalet, I found an amazing thing. I'll share it with you. I'll give you a copy of it. It's good to have on file. He has a beautiful Tshuva where he writes about OCD and Halacha. Torah has what to say about everything. And the question is, exactly the thing that was discussed, a person who is so frozen from his OCD and so obsessed with making brachos properly that the person keeps repeating the words over and over and over again. And the question is, can we allow such a person, when they say a bracha without kavana, to just don't worry about it? Even if it's an area of, let's say, shema, where a person is supposed to have extra kavana. Can we just, to help this person overcome this anxiety, to overcome this mental illness, to help this person to become a healthier person, can we make certain leniencies? Can we allow for a certain relaxation in halacha? And it's an amazing tshuva. It's a fascinating thing the way he puts it together. I also brought along, I'll tell you what he says in a second, another just a tremendous resource. This is a book of letters written between the Stipler Gaon, Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Kanievsky, of Chaim Kanievsky Shlita's father, the Stipler Gaon from Bnei Brak. Letters that were written back and forth between him and a Frum psychologist who lived in Muncie at the time. I think he lives in Eretz Yisrael now. I think he's still alive. And all sorts of questions to the Stipler Gaon. A person who feels no chius in anything that he does. A person who can't concentrate while he's saying brachos and keeps repeating things. A person who's so scared he didn't clean himself properly in the bathroom. A person who's obsessing over the fact that his tefillin is not precisely in the right place. And in a very beautiful way, the Stipler Gaon, who also was someone who really, really understood the world today, best way in 1986. He writes back and he offers encouragement and he offers practical suggestions to help this person to become healthy. Rav Asher Weiss writes in that tshuva, he writes about another tshuva that he found from earlier generations, from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer dealt with the following shaila. There was a person who in halacha had the status of a shota, a person who was suffering from a mental disorder, but of the type that they believed that if he was institutionalized, the person could be helped. The question was, a shota is pater from mitzvos. A shota is not able to function normally in the normal framework of halacha. The question was, can we submit this person for mental help to this institution where we know that this individual will be fed non-kosher food, but it's the only way they can become healthy, it's the only way they can live a normal life? And the Chassam Sofer says, absolutely. But you're basically feeding them treif, right? But I think we're smart enough in the world today, and already the Chassam Sofer knew it in his time, right, but all the more so, we're smart enough to know today that we have to treat these things the same way we treat a physical illness. And Rav Asher Weiss calls upon the famous statement of the Gemara in Maseches Yoma. Why is it that Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos? Why can you get in your car and drive to the hospital? Not only can you must get in your car and drive to the hospital to save someone's life. What principle? Gemara gives a few explanations for it. One of the answers is Rav Shimon ben Menasya Omer, Vishamru b'nei Yisrael Shabbos. Says the Gemara, better to be Mechalel one Shabbos now to be able to be Shomer many Shabbos in the future. Better to give up the Shabbos. Now, this is a delicate thing in Allah. I'm not paskening anything. And each of these situations needs to be dealt with carefully. But Rav Asher Weiss says, to be able to help someone for the rest of their life make brachos like a normal, healthy, balanced Jew, Torah Jew, then we can make certain leniencies when it comes to right now. To allow this person to function and serve Hashem properly over the course of his entire life, let's make sure that we're healthy about va'ata, about hayom. Even if that means, again, calling on aspects of halacha that we're not always so quick to rely upon. This is a form of pikuach nefesh. Better to be mechalel one Shabbos now, but to see the big picture. Life is an evolution, not a revolution. Rav Chaim of Elazhin, a student of the Vilna Gaon, wrote a commentary on Pirkei Avos. I want to just read you one line from it. In the Ruach Chaim on Pirkei Avos, he has it in two places, in the first parak and in the third parak. He gives a beautiful mashal. A servant is being asked by his master to retrieve something off a high shelf. Ki lo yuchal la'adam lalos b'mayla ha'elyona me'asulam. Does the master, does the king expect him to jump from the ground and get to the top to retrieve that bottle of wine, whatever it is on that top shelf? It would be unreasonable. It would be unfair for the melech to expect that he should step off onto the top rung of the ladder. No such thing. Im lo yatzig raglo mikodem amadrega tachtona. You will never get to the top rung of the ladder unless you first put your foot down on the first rung of the ladder. Ve'ein ze ovel mi eved im adonav yitzavlo lalos al sulam. And if the master sees the Eved placing his foot down upon that first rung, he's not disappointed with him. He doesn't accuse him of being a bad servant. He understands, the Melech understands there's a process here. If he tries to climb the ladder too fast, he's going to end up falling down and hurting himself. And then the king's not going to have his bottle of wine for his dinner party. If he stops halfway up the ladder and pulls out his phone to respond to 15 text messages, then the king might have a taina against him, might have a complaint. But as long as he's climbing, as long as he's respecting the process of getting there, the melech has no problem with him. That's why Chazal say, La'olam, a person should always study Torah lo lishma, shemitoch lo lishma balishma. La'olam, I should always start off with lo lishma. Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, yeah, maybe you should. Maybe it's totally unrealistic to ever imagine that I'm going to start in a place called lishma. That's a high rung, that's a very high level. That's a Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld, not a 8-day-old Seymour Freifeld. It's a process that a person needs to respect. And when we come to these days, yes, it's Hayom, it's a big day. Yes, it's, so to speak, is the top rung of the ladder. It's Rosh Hashanah. But at the same time, we have to climb the ladder in a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu encourages us and allows us to climb that ladder. I see we only have about 2 minutes left. I want to tell you a vart from the Beis Yaakov, from the Ishbitzer Rebbe. I heard this from one of my Rebbeim, someone who I'm sure many of you are familiar with, Rav Moshe Weinberger Shlita. He shared this recently in a shir. You have to be mature to understand this vart, but I think everyone here can probably handle it. To the boys, not as much. But by the women, I think we could trust you with this, to not abuse this. In the Torah describes a mitzvah of prika and te'ina. If you see your friend or even your enemy, again, there's different nuances in halacha and in the psukim even. You have one pasuk in Shemos, you have another pasuk in Devarim. If you see your friend struggling, his animal is struggling, collapsing under its load, so what do you have to do? The halacha says you need to help him. You need to help unload the animal. Similarly, the Torah tells us in Devarim that if you see an animal that someone's trying to load up, and the person doesn't have the means, right, to do it on his own, so what you need to do is you need to make sure to assist as well, to help to load up the animal, to help to unload it, to help load an animal. Okay. A mitzvah in the Torah, prika and te'ina, unloading and loading. The Beis Yaakov from Ishbitz, the Chesed of HaKadosh Avracha, says, I'll tell you what this means in Pnimius, on a deeper level. You have sometimes Jews who are overloaded. Overloaded by what? Not just overloaded by the burdens of Olam Hazeh, but overloaded by the burdens of Olam Haba. You have people sometimes that the Yiras Shemayim that they so badly desire is weighing them down and crushing them under their load. And therefore, and this is the delicate part, you have to help them to unload. Help them to unload. You want them to have less Yiras Shamayim? You want them to be less serious about serving in Kadosh Baruch Hu? But the answer is, if it means a temporary setback in order to allow them to live a life of service of Hashem over the course of a long time, then really that is Avodas Hashem. That's what Hashem wants. To take some of that weightiness of the religious experience off their shoulders, to take Rabbi Yisrael Salanter off of a katan's shoulders, right, might be a valid thing, might be a valuable thing. But it has to be so carefully balanced with te'ina. Sometimes you meet a Jew who, because of a fear of being overloaded, will sometimes pull back and is not taking on as much as one can take on. And when you meet such a Jew, you have to try to load God upon them, to bring more godliness into their life, to help them carry a little bit more, because you know that they can, to encourage them that they can carry more. Again, it's a delicate balance. Right? When are we too much in the presence of God? And when are we not enough in the presence of God? But again, a mature person approaches these days and understands these are, yes, they are Yom Noram, but they're also Yemei Ratzon. These are days of Avinu, but these are also days of Malkeinu. And to be able to approach the Kodesh Baruch Hu in that way. I want to conclude by just giving you one word of Chizuk from the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya wrote a beautiful little sefer called the Igaris HaTshuva. And in the 11th parak of the Igaris HaTshuva, he says an outstanding thing. It's a tremendous Chizuk, and I want you just to take this with you into the Yom Noram. He says, sometimes a Jew fails to believe in the power of tshuva. We're not convinced that tshuva actually works. How do we know for sure that tshuva works?
How do we express our confidence that tshuva actually works? We do it 3 times a day. At least those of us who daven Shmoneh Esrei 3 times a day. But every time we daven a weekday Shmoneh Esrei, we express our absolute belief in tshuva, in the power of tshuva, in Hashem's willingness to forgive us. But I told you last year, Hashem, I'd be better, and I didn't do it. And I told you the year before. And as time goes on, we grow weary, we start to give up on ourselves. Says the Baal HaTanya, did you ever notice that you make a bracha in Shmoneh Esrei? Baruch Ata Hashem, Chanun Amar Be'al Yislach. Did you ever notice we make a bracha that Hashem is abundant in His ability to forgive, in His willingness to forgive? What's the rule when it comes to brachos? Safek brachos, b'hakel. If you ever have a doubt about a bracha, the halacha tells us that better not to risk saying God's name in vain, don't say the bracha. So how can we make a bracha? Every time we daven Shmoneh Esrei, we make a bracha that Hashem is going to forgive us. Are we so sure? Are we so sure it's not a safek? Not even a sveik sveika? Not the tiniest shred of doubt? And the answer is no. A Jew has to believe Chanun Hamar Be'al Yislach, unlike a human being of flesh and blood, who grows tired of you failing and disappointing them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never grows tired of us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never laughs in our face. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never says that what you're holding is not good enough. If you're holding what you're supposed to be holding, if this is your Hayom, if this is your place, Ba'asher Husham, like Yishmael, lying under that bush on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, that we're going to read about, if that's your Va'ata, if that's your place, you should feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very proud of you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes you very seriously. And when you make that bracha, and we utter HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name throughout the davening of the Yom Ram and every single day of our lives when we daven Shmoneh Esrei, Chanun Amar Be'al Yislach, Baruch Ata Hashem, remind yourself that it's an expression that there is an absolute guarantee that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be close to us. And Hashem believes that we can get there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing us, the same way this Melech in the Mashal of Rav Chaim Volozhiner is allowing the Eved to take the necessary steps to get there, and not expecting him to fly to the top of the ladder. God forbid he'll hurt himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to do the same with us. So Mirtz Hashem, Mirtz Hashem, we should all be Zocha to approach these days in a healthy way, in a balanced way. Remember what the Rambam said, that the way of a Chacham, of a wise person, is to walk the middle path. To understand that Jews are extreme, but we're extreme about what Torah says. And Torah says that we should be of mental clarity, of sound mind, of healthy spirit, and that Amir Tz Hashem, each and every one of us, will be blessed this year with a Ksiva v'Chesima Tova. Thank you so much.